But we're going to greet each other right now with the purpose of sharing one thing in your life, one thing, as you walk and flit around like bees seeing each other, one thing you're thankful for. This is going to come back in a little bit, but just share one thing you're thankful for in your life right now. You can just walk up to Tom and say, Tom, I'm very thankful for my wife. See you later. Move on and talk to somebody else and say something else. But anyway, you're going to share things that you're thankful for in this life. You ready? Okay, let's stand and greet one another for a few minutes. As you're finding your seat, I appreciate it. Listen, I'm going to do this willy-nilly right now. I don't want to hear who said what. I just want to hear you share one thing, either you. They have earned the phrase porch pirates.
There's always one person pointing a finger at somebody else in class.
Okay. You both got detention. All right. All I want to hear from you, if you put your hand, I'm not going to put you, you don't have to, Art, I'd never do this, okay? You're not going to be put on the spot, all right? But all I want to hear from you is a quick pass by of something you heard that somebody was thankful for that you thought, oh, was pretty cool, or something you are thankful for you just like to share, one word, one phrase, whatever. I'm wandering until I see a hand and I'm going to stick a microphone in your face. Okay, hold on, here it is.
Someone said he was glad to be awake.
Okay, thank you for that. Wow. Okay, I'll wait till I see another hand. Somebody can up that just by whatever. Let me see. Hold on, here we go.
Sorry, Tom.
Someone tried to steal mine and said they were thankful Devin was here.
Okay. I said I was thankful Devin's here. We are, Devin. Okay, hand up gets you sharing. One word. Hold on. Why all the way over there? Okay, I'm coming. Watch this. This is why the step count goes so high.
This group of people and the support that they are.
Yeah. We have a personal story to share about you people somewhere in the future. Who said uh-oh? Okay. There's a personal story to share with you guys in months to come in regards to us and you. And when we share it with you, you won't believe it. Come that week. It'll be worth coming to.
I heard someone say they were thankful for grandparents who instilled in them the importance of getting together with family members.
And Tom has had his hand up three times.
Yeah, but Tom and I are friends, and I don't see that hand. Okay. Here we go.
Well, this is probably going to sound like a Sunday school answer, but one of the best ones I heard was, I am grateful for salvation.
Amen. We'll be doing some of that today, I am sure. Anybody else want to share while I'm wandering? Huh? Anybody? Okay. Okay. What'd you say? Obedience to God. Thankful for obedience to God. Well, you've got your song sheet. We're going to sing. And I'm just warning you what's coming up. We're going to sing, and then we're going to come back with, after we sing, we're going to come back with communion in groups. Then after that, we've got a special song. And after that, we've got some text work to do together, which is going to be kind of neat. And then we're going to be highlighting some stuff. If you want something to chew on for the rest of your week, this is going to get very meaty today. Sometimes you keep it light and airy. Oh, I'm thankful for my dog. I'm thankful for my cat. I'm thankful for my goldfish. Yeah, nah, 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 nah. This isn't going to be that way today. This is going to go in the deep end of the pool and stay there for a while to hopefully challenge you in your walk, which is what the scripture does. So, Beth. Rose, lead us.
If you are able to stand up, we're going to sing, it's a combination of an old hymn, All People That on Earth Do Dwell, but it ends with the doxology, which is very much a praiseworthy praise song. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And that's why we're here today.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Beth, so much. Please don't be seated. I'm sorry, I got to get that out of me before we get to the scripture. Okay, listen carefully. I'm going to need you at this time to get in groups of two or three. I'm going to need you because it's going to take the rest of the day for what we've got to do. So in groups of two or three, we'll be having communion in that smaller group together because there's some things we need to do during that communion time. And so go, move seats, do what you have to do, select that person, not your spouse or your best friend. Thank you for that. Can I ask the folks who are going to serve the elements to come up and distribute the bread and the cup at the same time? So within a few minutes, you should have a piece of bread and you should have a cup. So everybody has one of each in their hands. This will be the one serving that will take place. The other thing about being in your group right now is you need to really pick out who's going to be the leader of your group. So pick out by finger point, accusation, whatever. Somebody in your group needs to be the leader for what we're going to be doing here this morning. So go ahead and do that. Pick out the leader in your group. Okay, if we all picked out our leaders and everybody's going to be served. Listen, don't minimize that night we're talking about before Christmas. We realized that on Christmas Day and New Year's Day, we would have a service. One of those two are going to hit because this year, Christmas on a Sunday and New Year's on a Sunday. You realize that works together every year. And we knew one of them was going to hit. And sure enough, Christmas is the one that hit, that we would have a gathering here that morning. And I got to be honest with you, in big regular church, when that day comes, we realize nobody's going to be there. Everybody's with family, traveling, doing whatever. I'm going to say this, and you can hate me for it, but that is the day you let the youth pastor speak. Just to give them a little experience and an attaboy, and no matter what he does in front of the diminished crowd, you go, did a great job. Okay, now you get an inside word you don't need to hear. But that's what we or I used to do because I just didn't feel it was worth... Okay, I'm in a hole right now. We're going to get out of this right now. I just didn't feel like it was worth going down that road for me to do it. All right, just kidding, of course. Now, listen carefully, though. So our leadership decided a couple of months ago that we would back that to the Wednesday night before Christmas, which would make it December the 20-something. Right. That day, that Wednesday night. Thanks for being here, everybody, with me. And what happens that night is we're going to meet here at 6:30 or 7. I don't know what time is. And we'll meet here. You're going to bring a dessert to share. That's all we're going to have for fellowship tonight. And we're going to have a carol sing event. And we'll do some work in the scripture text for that night. Not a lot. Bring friends. Bring family. It's also a night, I'm going to say this to the crowd that dresses like me. It's also a chance for you to put on something else that might look kind of nice. I don't mean the reindeer ears that light up, but I am talking about something nice, maybe a nicer shirt or nicer pair of jeans or sneakers, whatever you feel like you want to do. But that's the night for that if you'd like to do that, all righty? Has everybody been served? Everybody has a piece of bread and has a cup in their possession? All right, let's do this. This is very serious. Let me pray. Father, I pray that right now at this time you would focus our thoughts like never before on this cataclysmic focal event in history, the death of Jesus Christ, for which we will give you thanks and praise for all of eternity. Father, right now I pray that we would just enjoy a sample of that. For it's in your Son's name I ask this. Amen. Have you got your piece of bread? I like to do this holding on to the specific. Hold the piece of bread with the finger or hand that's going to put it in your mouth. And listen carefully to what Paul says. He says that he received this from the Lord because if you don't know the Corinthian catastrophe, there were several. They had completely messed up the communion service with drunkenness and overeating. Deal with that at another time, but it's fun to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and realize that people can muck anything up, even as simple as this. So Paul has instruction for them about this, and here it is. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Don't eat yet, but in your group, which is why you're sitting there, right now, look at each other and just think, this represents the body of Jesus Christ broken and destroyed for me, going to be dead for me. All that he went through with his body, the torture, the punishment, the humiliation, you think of it. What would you say is an element about the death of Christ's body that you would be, and here's weird, thankful for? What about the death of Christ's body? Would you even right now think about and say, I'm thankful that Jesus, and you fill in the blank. Share that with each other right now. Okay, now, with the piece of bread in your hand, realizing that for eternity, as one of Christ's children, as a follower of Christ, spending eternity with him, you will 1 million years from today still not get over and completely digest the fact that Jesus Christ died for you, that he suffered for you, was, hold it, had to endure sin for you. Just think how far this goes. And the other thing is, you will see him face to face. Not about you, but I don't flippantly say this. My face will be in the dirt sucking up the dust. And if he tells me to get up, I might say, I'm not sure I can. That's how much awe is going to be in his presence from people like me and you. It's with that in mind, with thanksgiving and praise, that we take the bread and we eat together in memory of the death and broken body of Jesus Christ. Let's eat together. While that is a great picture, there's more of the picture to come. And it gets even deeper if you understand the Old Testament allusions that are here about the blood of an animal covering the sin of the people. Except the animal this time is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. In the same way, also, Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant, a new agreement, new way of doing business. In my blood, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. I'm going to ask you to take that little cup of juice that is the gives us the remembrance of the spilled blood of Jesus Christ. And with that in mind, I'm much thinking you've done about this, that the God of the universe would come in human form and spill his blood for you personally. But I'm asking you now to share with that cup in your hand, share an element about the blood of Christ that you're just so thankful for. Go ahead and share that in your group. Okay, and now with that cup in your hand, look at it. It's a resemblance of, a reminder of, a marker in our mind of the fact that the God of the universe, Jesus Christ, came in human form and gave it all for you. He gave his blood for you, his body and his blood. It's graphic, but it's good that we get it because the picture was painted all the way from the beginning. That was the message, that the blood was needed to cover and, in this case, forgive us of our sins. Let's all drink together in memory of the spilled blood of Jesus Christ. And now I'm going to ask you to stay in your group for the next section, and that is, you've got your leader appointed, right? Do leaders have pens in their hand or great memories? Okay, some kind of a pen in their hand? Somebody in that group have a pen in their hand or a phone they could make notes on real quick? I'm just going to give out the scripture text. I want to make sure you got them. All right? Here we are. We are going to have a choice of one of four texts in Colossians, which will feature elements that cause our thanksgiving. Here is the first one, Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Okay, that's the first one. Next one is Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. Let me keep going. Chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. Chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. And then Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Listen carefully. You're not asked to look at all of those texts. You're asked in your group to figure out which one of them you're going to look at in your group. Which one of these texts are you going to look at in your group? That's the first thing you as a leader will decide with your people. And then when you do, you're going to read that text, the one that you've chosen, one of the four. You're going to read that text, and you're going to look for an aspect about it or a fact about it or a characteristic about it, but something mentioned in there that you would say you are most thankful for, that this element, if it's true, which they are, this element causes my thanksgiving and praise. And what would that be? Alrighty, so your first thing is decide which of the four you might cover. And then the second thing is once you've discovered it with your group, then you read it out loud with your group. And then once you've done that, start making some notes as to what aspect of what you just read causes your thanksgiving and your praise personally. Got it? Go. Okay, we're up to time. We are up to time. Let me do a little survey just to get us going here. Hand up. Who covered the first text from Colossians chapter 1? Okay, several folks did. Good. You always wonder how this is going to go. Who covered the second one from Colossians chapter 2? Okay, good. Who covered Colossians chapter 3? Great. Who covered Colossians chapter 4? You did. Well, I am just, this works out every time. I don't know why. This is great. Okay, let's start at the beginning. Those groups that covered Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14, would you like to challenge us or teach us something about what you learned in your group? And if you're on the porch, you come here so we can all see you. Or you're here. Okay, Kathleen, thanks for breaking the ice. Here we go.
Well, in this chapter, Paul is praying for the Colossians, and he prays that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Another time he says that he wants them to be strengthened with all power for endurance and patience. And so the thing we thought about to be thankful for was the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that is enabling all of those things to happen. And that is the way we're filled with the knowledge of his will, with spiritual wisdom, power, patience, everything.
I love that. So they're laying claim to those early verses there, and this is all the result of the Holy Spirit working us, teaching us, reforming us, etc. Imagine the job he has to do. God, the Holy Spirit. Wow. Jerry, I saw you standing here, and I guess you want to share, right?
Right. I figured I'd just get over here and get in the queue, and lo and behold, I'm the first one. Or, well, the first one after Kathleen, anyway. but this passage, I mean, we needed a few more hours, I'm sorry, but we barely scratched the surface. But one of the first things that popped into our heads, Phil brought it up, is that we are receivers, we're recipients of a tremendous gift because of what Jesus did for us. And so how often do we actually remember to thank him for what he has already done for us? We get real busy in asking for things, but how often do we look back, maybe even take notes and write down about answered prayers, keep a journal of those things, and remember those things? How often are we thankful for our teachers and for that message itself? I mean, because he says, he talks about Epaphras and the gospel message that he had brought. And so are we thankful for that message and those who teach it? And then several people, this is embarrassing, but several people said they're thankful for me. This is highly embarrassing that anybody would be thankful for me, but I know that there are people praying for me, and there are people praying for you, Mike, and there are people praying for Patty, and they're praying for Devin, and they're praying for all of us. Every one of us has somebody praying for us. Are we thankful for that? Because Paul's praying for them, and there are people praying for us. So let's be thankful.
Wow. Excellent. Okay. Ann has ordered me not to move. So guess what I'm not doing? Moving.
There was only two that did one, right?
Come on. Anybody else have anything from chapter one? Okay. Oh, over there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Then you're in the queue for two. You must be very excited to share two. I like that.
I wanted her to walk a little bit.
Okay, good.
I'm going to just add that the piece that we focused on is that it's the Father who qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. It's not something we do. And so because of the Spirit in us, we can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. You know, kids grow up wanting to please parents, and God's made a way for us to please him.
Okay, now if that doesn't hit you with a thud, I don't know what else would. Okay, thanks, Jim. That was great. Okay, Ann, I think you're up. Oh, no? No, you're not up yet. Okay. Aren't you on microphone?
I can be.
Hey, why don't you turn yourself there?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
So
So a couple of things stood out that when Paul begins this prayer, he starts with thanksgiving. We always thank God, and that's a great place for us to start when we're praying. A lot of times we start with give me, give me, give me, or I need this, but I think to start with thankfulness sets our hearts in the right attitude. And just one of the truths that we saw was that the gift of prayer that God has given us, and then this passage is such a beautiful example of a prayer to pray for other people. I have prayed this prayer for my children over the years, for others that I know. And I mean, it gives us words that we know are God's words. So when we pray scripture, we know we're praying in his will. And the other thing that struck us too, he's thankful for this little church in the Colossian church, but then he mentions that the gospel is also spreading in the whole world. Just that power of the gospel within our little small group here, our little house church, and yet we're part of something even bigger, that God is spreading, even though we don't see it. That was something that Rose was pointing out. We don't always see God, the gospel spreading, especially in our current situation in our country, in our world. And then we touched on some of what you shared, Jim, too, and how he, just as we were going through communion, how he delivered us from darkness and transferred us into that kingdom of light, the kingdom of his son. Okay, and you want to talk about strengthened with all power?
No.
So she just said it so well. I don't want to mess up what she said, but she talked about that verse is so overwhelming that we're strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, the same power that created the whole world. He strengthens us with that power. It's just amazing. I'm done now.
I'm not sure you're done. Each one of those were seeds for books or big lessons. Okay, Ann, we've been waiting for this for a while. It's gonna be really kind of cool. Everybody pay real special attention. And how many groups covered chapter 2, Colossians 2? Just your group? Anybody else over there? Okay. We'll be getting to you next, whoever it is. Okay, Ann, you're up.
So we were talking about being rooted and firmly established and how that can come at a young age for like Mildred and I, who grew up in the faith, and the people that helped us, grow that way, so that when the storms and the things in life come, you need to be firmly planted in your faith and in the word to withstand all of that, and to go back and say thank you to the people that have helped you along the way to get to that maturity level.
Very good. Okay, who's up from here? Josh, is it you, since you're coming this way, buddy?
I guess so.
Okay.
As tired as I am. In verse 6, it talks about how Jesus the Lord, therefore as you receive Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And David talks about how without God, he's sort of a beast, just going from consumption to consumption. And this idea that with Jesus' righteousness, that we can just walk in him and have that righteousness applied when it is so undeserved. And this idea that, you know, broken as we are, instead of casting us aside, he builds us up in him and shows us such love that that we can be abounding in thanksgiving rather than just mournful in our brokenness and just so destroyed by how we've marred his image. And I think that's pretty neat.
I think it's pretty exciting. Okay, excellent job. There another chapter tour here? No more chapter tours? Okay. Chapter 3? Who did chapter 3 that wants to share? You don't have to, but if you'd like to share. Okay. There's a podium. I don't see Tom anymore. He got me in trouble with his wife. Okay. That's kind of how that works. Okay. Patty, how you doing?
Oh, yay.
There you go.
Oh, we talked about, if they can't hear me, there is a problem.
Then there's a problem. Put it in your mouth. We're recording.
Goodness gracious, we're recording, yay. But we talked about how he dwells at us and how with that he teaches us. And if you look at that and you think about that, any situation that you're in, if you look and you truly know Christ, you're going to be thankful for it, because even if disaster strikes, it's glory to God. There is a reason it's happening. If it's no other thing than touching someone else on the other side of the world to bring them to know Him so that they start learning about Him, you just have to look at anything you're going through and let it bring glory to God, because Jesus made a way for us so that we can do what we're supposed to by bringing other people to God. And with that, we have to look at the bad things too.
Good truth. Good job. Okay, chapter threers. We done with chapter threers? Anybody else? Chapter three? Oh, Tom, I didn't see you. Hold on.
I'm not going to take this abuse much longer. All right. I happen to have the great good fortune of sitting with two brothers who can make this very concrete stuff. And that is, yeah, you guys. And that's actually really helpful, I think, in a book as theological as Colossians is. So we're going to try to give you some things to kind of hang your hat on here. We have 15, 16, and 17 in chapter 3. And the first issue was the issue of the peace of Christ. The image that my partners came up with is the image of an umpire or a referee. In other words, the peace of Christ is not just some illusion, some figment of our imagination, but in fact, it is to rule in our hearts. So it serves the purpose of guiding and directing and correcting us. And Paul says that, among other things, this is an evidence of us being part of one body. Now, there's the one body here, but what we've done this morning has already been done and will be done later today in thousands and thousands of Christian congregations around the globe. And we are one body with those people too, even though we don't know their names and we don't know their situations. We are still in the spirit connected with them. In verse 16, we talked about the concept of what it is to dwell richly. And the image we had there is of a house. We dwell in a house. We don't dwell in a hotel room that we rent. And that the dwelling has to do with the idea that we have security. And along with having security, we have a sense of belonging. We should be there. We need to be there. We want to be there. It is not just a place that we come to rest or to be fed or to take a nap or to sit down for a while. And one of the neat things in that passage is that Paul talks about the connection of dwelling richly and corporate worship. So when we sing, when we read scripture together, when we meditate on the word, we have this fantastic thing that's going on that Paul says we teach each other, we admonish or correct or encourage one another, and that's going on as part of our corporate worship. We may even not be particularly aware of it, but as the word comes at us, either in a song or in the scripture or in someone speaking and explaining the word, we are being admonished or corrected or encouraged, and that's part of the function that we go through in corporate worship. In verse 17, we have a little different image, and the image there is the image of a challenge. And the challenge is that whatever we do, Paul doesn't make any exceptions, whatever, all of it, whatever we are doing, either in our thought life or what we're doing in our actions, our behaviors, is something that we should be able to connect to the name of Christ. When I'm not able to do that, I should stop a little short and wonder why. Why have I made the choice I've made, either in my thoughts or in my actions, that I really wouldn't want to say, by the way, right now, this is part of Jesus. So one of the things that came up was the issue of storms. When the storms of life come, what's the likelihood that I can do this? When I'm really being buffeted about by experiences or events or things that are happening either to me or other people, am I going to really be able to do this thing of keeping my thoughts and my actions in line with Christ? And that is the real challenge. And Paul says, in this, these challenges that life presents, we still want to be thankful to God through Christ.
Excellent, excellent work. Okay, who had Colossians chapter 4? Okay, and who's the speaker over here?
I have no idea.
Thank you, all right. I think.
We're thankful we ran out of time. We'll give the microphone back. Obviously, we had just one verse, and we tried to dig in and get some meat on the bone, because it's all there in all the scriptures that if you dig deeper, it's there. And the Colossians at the time, there's heresy among the churchgoers, under attack. And we talked about today, the church is always under constant attack. So this verse particularly applies to us even today. That first of all, devote ourselves to prayer. It's through prayer, and Christ gave us the example of prayer, how to pray. Christ himself, being God, yet also true man, prayed to the Father, which is amazing. He always glorified the Father, gave the Father the glory. And we should be thankful, giving glory and praise to the Father through prayer, devoting ourselves, arming ourselves for the heresy that's around us, to keep us strong, keep us in his word, and do that. So devote ourselves to prayer, being spiritually watchful. Always be aware of what's going on around us through the Holy Spirit. And being the attacks that are coming at us every day, other people, things being said. And the way we have to do that is through prayer and always thanking God that we have that ability.
I would say real good depth work this morning, which I really do appreciate. I wanted to share one thing with you. It's very simple. It's this: if I could have your attention, you'll get it. It's very easy. Everybody understands this. When we talk to people about coming to Jesus, we say, have you received the Lord? You've heard the phraseology before. And if I were to ask you that, you'd say what? Yeah, I've done that. Or this one, which we tell our kids, which is theologically way off base, but I don't have time to go into it right now. Have you asked the Lord Jesus into your heart? And we all in here would go, yeah, we have. It doesn't really have a scriptural precedent per se, but there we go. And we'd say, I've done that. I get that, Mike. Well, there's a couple of verses here I wanted you to see. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, Paul says, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. Again, we all say, I've received him. In Colossians 4, 17, Paul says this to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you've received in the Lord. And we go, I've done that. He's given me a mission. I'm doing it. And if you end the discussion there, you end the richness of what's in that word receive. And I thought this morning for 30 seconds I'd give it to you, just so that you walk out of here this morning and you go, my goodness, there was a lot of depth in this morning's teaching. First of all, I went back and looked in the original languages, the Greek, to see what received even means. And listen to this very carefully. It is a conscious and deliberate act. In fact, in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 2, it goes on to include your walk or total life for him with nothing held back. Let me keep going. It also means to take on the whole of the other person, their lifestyle, motivations, purposes, thoughts, causes, etc. Take on all of him. This one I really like in the Greek. That word receive means this, Beth Reed. It means to open your door, but not a crack. It means to open your door fully so that everybody can come in for hospitality. That's receiving guests. We do that every couple of weeks here. You get it, don't you? Let me keep going. It means to fully learn of another and take that person on fully, to make the other person your person. You hear that? to take on the other person as your person. And it's part of that to strive to obtain all the other person fully is as you are becoming them, not rejecting anything about what they're like. Wow. I had heard this one thing years ago, and I haven't anywhere to say it for a long time. And it goes like this. The Jews in the Old Testament, they had gotten the law of Moses on how to act and how to be and how to do. The believers in the New Testament who've come to Christ, listen to this, they receive the full life of Jesus Christ. The Jews got the law of Moses. The believers receive the life of Christ. And to take this all the way full circle, did you receive Jesus Christ? Yeah, I did that. And then Paul says here at the end of the book, that you receive a ministry from Christ, and those words are the same, with all of the same meaning, to have the doors fully open, like right here, and let that ministry Christ gives to you come fully into you, that you can take it up. So the question here is this, for each of us, when you came to Christ, did you receive him? Yes, you did. But don't go lazy on me right now. As you continue to strive to walk with him, are you still receiving him? Are you still in the process of taking on his thoughts and motivations and life and causes and etc.? Are you still in the process with your doors fully wide open of receiving Jesus Christ that you might be fully like him? And then listen to this, you who claim Jesus Christ. Have you also, by the same token, fully opened the doors, inviting his ministry completely into your life, that you might be fully about that thing that God has called you to do, to represent him where he's individually placed you? Good questions. Maybe the better question should be, are you still receiving Jesus Christ? Are you still receiving the things of Jesus Christ? I'm striving to. I'm striving to keep my doors wide open so that I can be like him in every place that he's put me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us a lifestyle of pursuing your son, Jesus, that we might be fully like him in every way. And we once again declare to you that our doors are fully open for him to come in and to show us that way, to take over us, that the Holy Spirit might dominate us, that we might truly be Jesus to this dying generation. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Listen, don't move. You're near your group still. Get with your group. Select one person to pray over the group, a prayer of committal, leading to the next week, which we call Fellowship Week, where we take away all the meetings and stuff so you can meet with people. The prayer is for us and our witness going forward this week. When you're done that prayer with your group, then you're dismissed. Thanks for being here.